Before we start, Strange Circle is a narrative podcast, best listened to in sequential order. So if this is your first time, why not go back to episode 1? Enjoy the show.
Jerry, hi. This is Moses. Sorry, I was in the pub when you rang. I thought I'd better move to a more somber location.
Hello, Moses. Thanks for ringing back. Somber is an appropriate word.
What happened? Is everyone all right? We heard screaming and people running.
Well, it took us a moment to figure out where the screams were coming from. It was Barry, from the control booth. Derek ran in as soon as he saw it.
Saw what?
The flames. Barry's head was on fire.
Oh, God. Is he okay?
Not really. He's not dead, if that's what you mean. It looks like the fire started in his headphones. They were melted onto the sides of his face. Then his hair went up. He's alive, but he has very little skin left above his neck.
Oh, no. I am so sorry. I should never have suggested we do this.
Moses, there is only one place to put our blame. The demon. Are all of your people all right?
Yes, physically. I checked in with them this morning. Andy Gorham had a group made up of priests and nuns from the area. Most of them have had experience in dealing with the demonic before. They're never like this. He told me they formed a prayer circle with Hilly's book in the center on the floor and the radio station playing. It was all Our Fathers and Hail Marys until Barry started screaming, and then the book flung itself across the room towards Andy, who managed to duck out of the way. He says he's thanking God and a lifetime's obsession with baseball.
Thank God that was all. And the others in California?
Well, Denise is in an online coven.
Online? Okay, that's a new one on me.
Well, it goes, if there is intent, it doesn't matter how it is cast into the universe.
I will take your word for it. Were they all okay?
Yeah. By the time I called this morning, Denise had contacted just about all of them. They were in this virtual representation of the real-world focus. They saw things that shouldn't have been there. The only other thing was a blackout that took out all the power. Quite a large area. No physical harm done, though.
I am relieved. Moses, can you relay my thanks to as many of them that you can? It all goes to show that none of us knew what we were dealing with. This demon means to be birthed into this reality, physically. I am not sure what that even means.
No, me neither. But I may know some people who might. Can you give my best to Barry? Does he need anything?
The station is treating it as some kind of freak industrial accident. So he's been taken care of. Derek Show has been pulled from their schedule, though. I don't think they know what they're dealing with.
Okay, Jerry. I'll let you know if I turn up anything new. Please be safe.
I will. You too. Speak to you soon.
Bye for now.
Here's today's instruction.
The five boxing wizards jump quickly.
Of December 2019. Patient 414, or Elizabeth, as she calls herself. Summary of intake and subsequent observations by Dr. Elisa Heron. This matter was deemed scarlet by intake and cardinal after the full risk assessment. I shall be referring to the subject as Elizabeth. Anthropomorphizing seems appropriate given the nature of her delusion, and relating to this may be a way into her psyche. To begin, the first time I met Elizabeth was early in the morning of September the 21st. She had been brought in by a cleanup team after a tip-off from the John Radcliffe Hospital in Oxford. A young girl had been found at the edge of Port Meadow, disoriented and without clothes. By the time our team arrived, she had named herself Elizabeth, but had otherwise remained silent. She was flagged on a routine check of new arriving patients by one of our agents. He noticed she was marked on the side of her neck and called it in. Elizabeth arrived early the following morning. She remained quiet, sullen even, until the next day when she began talking to herself. It was quickly apparent that she was archetypulating, as in Cordova's standard eidolonic progressions. She had placed herself as the protagonist in a fairy tale style fantasy involving a castle and a royal family. Interestingly, she was not a member of this royal family herself. I am postulating that the lower status family she has formed around her in this story may be a metaphor for some social structure she was part of on the other side of the wall. Over the past weeks, I have met with Elizabeth on a daily basis. Initially, she would not acknowledge me in any way, so I listened to her one-sided conversations about her life in a castle. Slowly, I was able to interject questions when she paused. These were initially in keeping with her fantasy, questions about her family and the royals. Her father in this scenario was some kind of bodyguard for the king and queen. This relationship may be mirrored in her previous existence, so it is marked for further study. Any details of a hierarchical structure on the other side of the wall is a top priority. Yesterday, I was able to persuade her out of her fantasy for the first time. This involved a hero's journey out of the imagined kingdom until she was able to see the wall. Her reality had fallen away into the darkness, and what was left was a doorway. She was unable to open it, but could look through the keyhole instead. What she saw caused her extreme terror. I cannot get her to describe this. I can only assume a repeat of what we've seen before with a few of the other lower idler. The door leads back to their previous existence, behind the wall. Franco Costa records a similar response from one of his subjects, who saw a Judeo-Christian hellscape, to quote his report. Another layer to the lie, of course, but one that is clearly not a desirable destination.
Good, he's still here.
I appreciate the feigned surprise. How was the priest?
They're all a bit shaken up. One of the engineers at the station got badly burnt.
An accident?
That's the official stance. Jerry said his headphones just caught on fire.
Jeez. And are you all right?
I'm not so sure. I feel guilty, but no one is blaming me. I'm concerned for Jerry and his friend Derek. That demon, or whatever it is not likely to forget about them.
Or you.
Indeed. It seems that it was affecting my colleagues in the States, so it's reasonable to assume it knows who we are.
I return to my original point. I don't quite believe in these things, Moses. I believe you believe them, along with all these other people. But it's clear that this woman is mentally ill, and you are all caught up in some shared delusion. You know how you like to play the hero.
That's a little unkind, Daisy.
Ah, but that's why you keep me around. Who else is going to be a little unkind when you need it? Is it possible that there's nothing supernatural here at all?
What about this?
It's a scar. A few weeks old, by the look of things.
I got it in that infernal church. Out of the blue, no one nearby, and then a sudden pain in my side. I needed stitches, for God's sake.
Okay. I admit that is strange, if what you're saying actually happened.
Oh, come on, Daisy.
I'm just saying that to be convinced, I would have to witness something myself. And in the whole of my psychological career, that has never happened. Perhaps you're asking the wrong person for advice. I know you know plenty of people who are into all of this demon crap.
Yeah, I was thinking about that. I think I'm going to pay Aunt Daphne a visit.
Straight to the horse's mouth, eh? And where is she holed up lately?
Apparently there's an apartment building with a basement door off Bunhill Burial Grounds, near to Old Street. Something to do with her William Blake obsession.
Oh, well, good luck. I know how things went the last time you saw her.
Delete space. Start with us.
Left 19. Right 16. Right 1. Right 2. Right 3. Left 6. Right 12. Left 22. Right 10. Right 3. Left 19. Right 16. Right 1.
You have an email.
Email from Dr. Elisa Heron to regular Charles Seaton. Charles, there is a reason why you are being paid so much for what amounts to a very menial job. I realize that our new patient presents as an 8-year-old girl, but as you have been told on numerous occasions, this is not her real form. Therefore, please refrain from treating her as such. The toy you left in her room has been incinerated as per the standard safety protocol. Consider this an official warning. Dr. Heron. Email from Dr. Elisa Heron to Supervisor Mossop. Dear Eric, I read your suggestions with great interest. It is true that the uncertainty about the exact nature of the subject does warrant caution. However, I must request that termination be postponed at this time. As you will have read in my report, I have made some progress after weeks of hard work. It is worth continuing, if only to get a description of the place she sees beyond the wall of the lie. I am sure a description of hell would go down extremely well with the higher ups. Please let me know of your decision at your earliest convenience. Elisa. Email from Dr. Elisa Heron to David Heron. Dave, I am so sorry. I will be late again this evening. Mossop has me finishing up his work again, and I can't afford to refuse him at the moment. Please kiss Katie goodnight for me. So sorry. Ali. Encrypted message from Charles Seaton. Hey guys, not sure how much longer I can keep this up. The place is run like a prison camp, and I'm yet to find any of the other guards I work with who will break silence on what exactly is going on. I have a feeling that the severance package here might be extremely literal. They took down all my past addresses and the details of all close family members. Thank goodness Jane was thorough creating my identity. Not that any of these goons would quit anyway. The personality test probably weeds out anyone with a modicum of curiosity and intelligence. And the pay is unbelievable. I managed to get in to see the girl again. I left her the present you prepared. Hopefully, it will pick up some interesting stuff. Just tell me I can leave this place soon. Charlie.
This is Al Ashworth, creator of the Strange Circle podcast. I really hope you enjoyed this episode and invite you to visit the Strange Circle website for more facts, stories and clues. And if you enjoyed this episode, I would be very grateful if you could rate and review, especially on iTunes. If you're feeling generous, please sponsor me on Patreon. This podcast is a labour of love, and any help you can give is gratefully received. You can find all the information at pod.strangecircle.org. Thanks for listening.
Sometimes I feel from home. True believer, a long ways from home, a long ways from home. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes I feel like I'm almost gone. Sometimes